Feast of Israel, Lesson 9, and it's the yearly feast, the Feast of Purim. If you want to, go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Esther. The book of Esther, and we're going to do some things a little bit different today, or we're going to go fast as I can. So make sure we try to finish this one if we can. This is lesson number 9. We got a little further into the thing, but as far as just following around, if you want to go to page 2 where it says background, story of Esther, and significance, I'm going to start reviewing from right there and get a little further over so you can see how the things fit together. When you get to the top of the page that says the story from Esther, I'll give a little bit more details there. I'll just kind of talk through the story for you and let you see it. So we'll see it as we go through it today. The Feast of Purim, we've been seeing, of course, the different feasts of Israel. We saw the weekly feast, which was, of course, the Sabbath. We saw the monthly feast, which is called the New Moon. We saw the 7 yearly feasts, which are found in Leviticus. And now we're seeing 2 different yearly feasts that aren't found in Leviticus. One is called the Feast of Purim. The other is called the Feast of Lights or Hanukkah. So that's the 2 that we're looking at. We're doing the Feast of Purim today, which is based off the book of Esther. And we'll see how that fits. Let me start with a prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for our time together. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. Gives us eternal life, Lord. We never want to take that for granted. Thank you that the eternal God left the glories of heaven to become a person so he could die for us, he could pay for our sins, and rise again, conquering death and giving life. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the book of Esther. We thank you for the different feasts, how they're really pictures and foreshadows of our Savior Jesus Christ. And then even feasts like the Feast of Purim and the Feast of Hanukkah just show us your power and your greatness and your sovereignty. Teach us now, Lord, as we study. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're studying the book of Esther, it's such an amazing book because God's name's never even mentioned in the book. And let me just give you a little running background. If you notice, it says background, story of Esther, the significance, the background. The word, the Feast of Purim, Purim means lot or lots. And lots were like little pieces of wood or maybe some blocks or maybe even some rocks or something that they could toss, and they would come up with an idea. They would say, okay, should I do this or not? Should I do this? And they threw it out and they'd say yes. Or they could figure out what day, they'd cast lots. Proverbs 16, I think it's 16:33 says the lot is in the hand of man, but God is the one that causes the information, basically. The Feast of Purim at the time of Esther, this bottom line, at the time of Esther, lots were cast to determine the day of the destruction for the nation of Israel. And I'm going to go more detail in just a minute, but let me just remind you of what we saw last time. I'm just going to talk through this. I'm not going to ask the questions. We talked about it last week. But if you remember this, that King David was the king of Israel for 40 years. He followed Saul. Saul had been the first king for 40 years. David came along. He was king for 40 years. His son Solomon was king for 40 years. After Solomon's death, King David was followed by his son Solomon. After Solomon's death, the nation of Israel was divided into 2 parts. You just have to fill out the blanks, or you have them from last week. But after that, the nation of Israel divided into 2 parts. I think we might have slides. Yeah, there it is. The nation of Israel divided into 2 parts. One was called Israel. The other was called Judah. 10 kingdoms, 10 tribes came together to form a kingdom called the Kingdom of Israel. The capital was at Samaria. That was the northern empire. The southern empire became known as Judah because it was Judah and Benjamin. Since Judah was so much bigger than Benjamin as far as land, and Jerusalem was in Judah, they began just to say, that's Judah. So, and its capital was Jerusalem. So you had Israel and Judah. There were no believing kings in Israel. And there were some believing kings in Judah. And as we have there in 722 BC, In 722 BC, Israel went into captivity by the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire came down, took the northern empire, and take them off into captivity. So that's 722. They were not able to capture the southern empire. Hezekiah was the king. Isaiah was one of the prophets. And God defended and saved his people. Then in 585 BC, God allowed Judah, the southern kingdom, to go in captivity to the Babylonians. And the promise Jeremiah wrote that they would stay in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And guess what? Exactly 70 years later, the nation of Israel was released, and they were able to go back to the land. Now, some people went back, some didn't. Notice this. The next slide says the books of Ezra and Nehemiah are the stories of the Jews who went back to rebuild the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. Ezra talks about the temple. Nehemiah talks about the walls of the city. That's those two books. So those are the story of the Jews went back. Now, a lot of Jews were taken off. 50,000 Jews went back. That's not very many. That's all who went back. The story of Esther, basically the book of Esther, go back to the next slide, please. The book of Esther is the story of the Jews who remained in Persia. Now, the Babylonians were captured by the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medes and Persians came together and became an empire and conquered the Babylonians. And so Esther is the story of the Jews who stayed in the Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. And that's the story. And so we're going to see that. Now, the story of Esther, and you can go to the next slide. Let me just, and you can follow along. I think we're now at the top of the page that, and this is where we stopped last week, the story of Esther. I'm going to just kind of go through this, and some of the things I'll talk about when we come to the blanks, we'll be able to fill them in. But let me just remind you, the story of Esther is not very long. It's about, I think it's, was it 9 chapters or 10? Let me look and see. It's 10 chapters because chapter 10 is only 3 verses. But it's a story of about a king. And let me just give you a background. There was a king. His name was Xerxes. And he's sort of the main man as far as the story of Esther. He was the king. He gave a big party. His nation was beginning to crumble as far as power. He gave a big party, had people there. And while he was at the party, he was drunk. He asked his queen Vashti to come in and show off her beauty to all the men, because the men and the women didn't party at the same place, at least not the respectable women. But he called for his queen to come in so all the people could see her. There is some speculation that he wanted her to come in without her clothes on. There's some speculation. Nobody knows. But she wouldn't come. And it kind of embarrassed him because he's the king and he tells everybody what to do, and she wouldn't come. So he called together his meeting people and said, she didn't come. What am I going to do? And they said, this is going to look bad for all men. If your wife doesn't do what you say, none of our wives are going to do what we say. So you better do something about this. And so he decided that they would dispose Queen Vashti and show that because she didn't obey the king and obey her husband, she was disposed and she was no longer queen. She was put off by herself. And that's what happened to her. And that could be the end of the book, but it wasn't. Because sometime later, after he went to war, it doesn't tell us much about it, but he went to war. History tells us he lost the war. Came back defeated, upset, and he began to be lonely. He began to realize he didn't have a queen. So what he decided to do was, and he once again called the advisors in and said, I don't have a queen. Somebody help me. And they said, here's what we think you ought to do. O king, live forever. That's how they'd say it. O king, live forever. Here's what we want you to do. Why don't we just go throughout the kingdom and pick all of the beautiful young women, bring them here, and basically have a beauty pageant. You're going to see these women, and you're going to pick out which one you want to be the queen. Now, and people got chosen. In fact, let me look at the blanks here just for a second. There's a young girl, Jewish girl. You know what her name was? His name, Hadassah. Her name is Hadassah. That's Esther. Hadassah is a Jewish name. Esther is not a Jewish name. Esther is actually a Persian name, Esther. Okay? So Hadassah was her Jewish name. Her name was changed to Esther. And a young Jewish girl named Hadassah, her uncle Mordecai, told her not to reveal that she was Jewish. See, she was so pretty, she was picked. She went to her uncle and said, because her mom and daddy were dead, and she said, what do I do? He said, look, you go in there and you do whatever you're supposed to do, but listen, don't tell them you're Jewish. Don't tell them you're Jewish. So she gets there, she goes in, and they have about 6 months of getting these girls ready. Now, you might say, this was neat that you got picked. Well, it wasn't that neat, because here's why. Every girl had to come spend the night with the king. Okay, so he's going to have sex with them. If he doesn't like them, basically, if he says, I don't want you to be queen, then from that point, the rest of her life, she's in his harem, and he could call for her anytime he wanted to, but she lives the rest of her life in a harem. She'll never get to be married. She'll never have children. I mean, so it's not that great a deal, even though, the chance was pretty slim. You're going to be queen, right? One out of how many he picked. And so she's picked to go in there. And as things go along, she comes. It's her time. And when she goes in, she goes in and doesn't take a lot of things like a lot of the other women were taking all kind of things in there. She just goes in there, and he is so impressed by her beauty and who she is. He says, "You're going to be my queen." He doesn't know she's Jewish. She didn't tell Jewish. She just nobody knows. So suddenly, this Jewish girl is now the queen of Persia, the Medo-Persian Empire. And everything looks great so far. And her uncle says, "This turned out pretty good. You know, this turned out pretty good." He hangs around a lot. And one day while he was hanging around the palace, he heard two of the king's servants threatening to kill him. They were going to kill him. He sent the word to Esther. Esther went and told the king, "These two men were trying to kill you. That's the plan." He brings them in, finds out it's true. He puts them to death. And it is recorded that Mordecai saved the king's life. Put in the annals, put in the records. But Mordecai didn't get anything. No reward, no present, nothing. You can see Mordecai going, "Thank you very much." Okay. He thanks a lot. "You know, I didn't get anything." But he didn't worry about it. One day, since Mordecai is kind of a proud Jewish man, this man comes along. His name is Haman. Haman is an evil man. Haman wants power. Haman, all Haman cares about is if he could be number two behind the king. That's what he wants. He walks out, and everybody knows how powerful Haman is, and they all bow down to him except Mordecai. He looks over. Mordecai's going. He says, hey, you down. Mordecai says, "I'm Jewish. We don't bow to anyone except God." Haman goes, I'm getting you. And so he comes in and he says, "I'm really mad that guy doesn't bow down to me." And his wife and family says, "Well, what you ought to do is kill him." And he says, "Yeah, you know what I'll do? I'll kill not only him, but he's Jewish. I'll kill every Jew there is. I hate them all." So he goes to the king. And he says, "King," and Haman was really rich, and he goes to the king and he says, "Listen, I got a lot of money, and I know we lost a lot of money in the battle. In the last war, we lost a lot of money. I got a lot of money. What I'd like to do is I'd like to give some money to the kingdom, but would you mind? There are some people in the kingdom that don't obey the laws of the kingdom, and they're really rebellious people, and I would like to destroy them." And the king says, "Doesn't matter to me. I don't care who they are. I don't even know them," right? He says, "You can do what you want." So Haman goes and he casts lots to determine the day of the destruction of the Jewish people. And so it comes up to be a certain date, and they make a decree, and it goes out in every language throughout all of the 127 provinces of the Persian Empire. This is not just going to kill Mordecai. It's going to kill every Jewish person alive on the face of the earth. And it goes out in all these languages. It says on the, I think it's the 12th day of the 13th day of the 12th month, all Jewish people will be put to death. They will be attacked and killed and their property confiscated. It just so happens that when this was written, it ended up being about almost a year from the time that the decree was sent out before it was going to happen. Well, all the Jewish people go, what in the world is this? And they go, "Oh my gosh." And so every province of the Persian Empire, Jewish people are wailing and saying, "We're all going to be put to death." Now let me just ask you a question. What would happen if all the Jewish people were put to death? No Messiah. So this is a little bit serious for us included. So Mordecai puts on the sackcloth and ashes and goes outside the palace. Since there was a rule that said you could never come into the presence of the king with sackcloth and ashes on, because that's a sign of sadness. He didn't want to be around any sadness. And so he was outside the gate wailing and all this. And Esther looks down and she goes, "What in the world?" She doesn't realize. She doesn't even know the decree is out. I mean, you know, queens are pretty much kind of set back a little bit, call for when they want it. She didn't know the deal. So she sends word down and says, get my uncle some clothes on. And he sends word back up and says, "Read the decree." She reads the decree and goes, "Oh my gracious, we're gonna, that's us, that's me." In fact, she thought, "Well, maybe that's them. Maybe it's not me. I'm the queen." He sends word back and says, "You think you're gonna escape this? You've got to do something. You've got to go see the king." She says, "Oh, I don't think you understand. You can't just go see the king. Even though I'm the queen, you can't go see the king. In fact, there's this deal that when he sits on his throne, he has his staff and his scepter. And if somebody walks into the room uninvited, If he wants to see you when you come in, even though you're not invited, he will put down the scepter and you get to come up and touch the top of the scepter. If he doesn't put down the scepter, the guards that are there kill you automatically. So you don't just walk in to see the king. And Mordecai said, you can't take that chance. You've got to do something. So she says her famous words. Remember what they are? If I what? I don't know if it's up here. Yeah, there it is. If I perish, I perish. She said, I'll give my life. She said, everybody pray and fast for 3 days. And when the 3 days are over, I'll go and I'll go in to see the king and I'll tell him what's happened and see what we can do. So 3 days pass. She sends word to the king. And meanwhile, Haman has made some gallows 50 feet tall. And when we say gallows, it's not like hanging somebody, like hang them high. It's a thing in which you impale somebody on it. So he says, what I'm going to do is build this. I'm going to go into the king and I'm going to say, you know those people we're going to destroy, there's one guy I'd like to kill first. And it's that Mordecai. And he figures the king will say, well, kill him. And he'll just take him out and he'll have Mordecai killed on top of that thing. And he'll be stuck up there. And he'll go, see, I got that guy back. And then on the right day, all these Jewish people will be put to death. So Esther decides that she knows that Haman's the one who's written the thing. So she's going to have she goes in to see the king. And she steps in and he looks at her. And the guards go. And he goes, and she walks up and touches the top of it. And he said, what can I do for you? She says, I'd like for you to come to a party. And I'd like to talk to you about something. He said, okay, I'll come to the party. And she invited Haman. Haman got invited. So Haman goes home and says, I'm invited to a party. And it's only the king, the queen, and me. This is the greatest day of my life. And by the way, I can hardly wait to talk to the king. So they got to the party. And he says to her, okay, what do you want? And she says, I want another party tomorrow, and then I'll tell you. And he looks at her and goes, okay. We don't know whether for some reason she just thought she needed to wait another day or that she was just afraid to ask him. But we know from the providence of God, she had to wait another day. Why? Well, what happened is this. That after that, she's got the party ready for the next day. Come right on in. They're coming to the party. See, there they are. Yeah, how you doing? And so, that night, the king says, okay, when I get up in the morning, I got a party. Esther's coming and Haman's coming. Haman is saying, you know what I'm going to do? Here's what I've decided to do. I'm going to get up real early in the morning before the next party and go ahead and tell the king I want to kill that Mordecai guy. That night, the king laid to bed, and he went, oh, I can't sleep. Why can't I sleep? I mean, I don't know why I can't sleep. He said, bring somebody in here. Bring the records in. I figure if they read the court records, I'll just fall asleep, right? So they opened them up, and guess where they opened it to? There was a guy one time who tried to kill the king, and a man named Mordecai told the word to Esther, and Esther told the king, and those people were put to death. He goes, Mordecai, what reward did Mordecai get? And he went, he never got a reward. King says, he never got a reward for saving my life? Oh, we got to do something. About that time, Haman shows up early in the morning. What's he coming to ask? I'd like to kill Mordecai. That's not a good thing to ask at this time, if you could be honest about it, right? So the king says, who's out there? And they said, it's Haman. He would like to see you. He said, bring him in. I got an idea. Haman comes in and he goes, oh, king, live forever. He says, don't forget about the party today. Me and you are going to the party with Esther. Got it. He says, listen, let me ask you a question, Haman. What would you do for someone that the king wanted to honor? Haman thinks to himself, who else would the king want to honor but me? Oh, king, if you were honoring someone, I would let them sit on your horse with your stuff and be led through the city and someone lead them through the city saying, this is the man the king wants to honor. And the king says, great idea. Do that for Mordecai. You take Mordecai through the city. Haman goes, oh my gosh, I'm in bad trouble. He goes home to tell his wife, I've got to take Mordecai through the city. You know what she says? You're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. So he's humiliated. He takes Mordecai, who he hates, who he wants to kill all the Jews. The decree's gone out. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, the decrees of the Medes and Persians can never be changed. So the decree going out is on the 13th day of the 12th month, every Jew's going to die anyway. So Haman has to take Mordecai through the city going, this is the man the king wants to honor. This is the man the king wants to honor. He goes home. He's totally embarrassed. Tells his wife. She says, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. So somebody comes and says, have you forgotten about the party? It's about time. He goes, oh, I got to go to the party. But I'm okay, though. I'm going to the party. It's just me and the king and the queen. So they get to the party. And they eat and they have a great time. And the king looks over at Esther and says, Esther, what is this that you would like for to do? And she says, O king, live forever. I would like to say this. If it was only affecting me, I really wouldn't care. But this affects all of my people and me. There is a decree to kill us all. And he goes, what are you talking about? He didn't even put it together yet. And he says, who has done such a thing? And she goes, that man right there, Mr. Haman. Haman goes, I don't think I should be at this party, right? He looks down. The king is so mad because he realizes that Haman put out a decree that he okayed to kill Esther and all the Jews. He didn't even know Esther was Jewish. It now comes back to him. He's so mad, he gets up and he goes outside and stands and says, I'm not going to solve this one because the laws of the Medes and Persians can't be changed. Haman realizes he's in trouble. He goes over to Esther. She's on the couch. He gets down, bows down, and grabs her, basically saying, help me. The king comes back in. He says, you trying to make a move on the queen? Kill this man. And they come and they grab him. And they said, how do you want us to kill him? And one guy goes, oh, by the way, he made some gallows 50 feet high. He was going to kill Mordecai. We can hang him on that. The guy says, put him on those gallows. And they take Haman out and put him on the gallows. And you'd say, this is the greatest story ever, but it's not over because the law of the Medes and Persians, what? Can't be changed. The decree is still going out that the Jewish people are going to die. And so Queen Esther and Mordecai come in and they say, we got to do something. He said, we got to write another decree. And the other decree is this. On the 13th day of the 12th month, the Jewish people may defend themselves and fight and kill and do whatever they need to do to protect their own lives. And they were sent out. And on that day, the attacks came and the Jewish people killed them and killed a lot of them. And Esther came in and said, would you extend it for another day? Just in case. And they extended another day and a bunch more were killed. And so at the end of this whole thing, on 2 days, the Jewish people defended themselves and had great victory. And let me just throw this out. Mordecai became into the king because the king said, you were a great one. And Mordecai got raised up to be a great position as well. Now, let me show you. Let's see. Look at Esther 9. Just turn over there. I want you to see this. We'll see it pretty quickly. I know we're about to run out of time. On the 12th day, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, when the king's command and edict were about to be executed on that day, when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain mastery over them, it turned to be contrary so that the Jews themselves gained the mastery over those who hated them. So it became a great victory for the king. And if you notice, look at verse 13. Then Esther said, if it pleases the king, let tomorrow also be granted to the Jews who are in Susa, that's the capital, to do according to the edict today, and let Haman's 10 sons, I forgot to tell you that, she wanted Haman's 10 sons to be hanged as well. So the king commanded that it should be done, that the edict was issued in Susa and Haman's 10 sons were hanged. So that shows you that sometimes what you do affects who else? The people around you. So Haman's 10 sons, I don't think I had any part of this. Well, you want to be stuck on a pole. Just remember that because of your dad, because of what he did. Look down at verse 18. It just says, the Jews who were in Susa assembled on the 13th and the 14th day of the same month, and they rested on the 15th and made a day of feasting and rejoicing. Therefore, the Jews of the rural areas who live in the rural towns make the 14th day of the month of Adar a holiday for rejoicing and feasting and sending portions of food to one another. So Mordecai recorded these events, sent the letters to all the Jews who were in the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, and told them to celebrate the 14th day and the 15th day of the month, and that's called Purim. That's what it's called. And verse 23 says, thus the Jews undertook what they started to do, what Mordecai had written to them. And actually, verses 23, 24, 25, and 26. I won't read them for you right this second. Those verses of chapter 9 actually give the story of Esther in about five verses. So you should say to me, why didn't you just read the five verses and talk without talking so long? But anyway, we could have. And so that is the feast. Now, what they do today, the Jewish people, it becomes really kind of it's a big party. And on the eve of the 14th day, the Jewish people get together and they have a party. Kids, they dress up, they do all kind of things. But the people who drink, they have a goal that whenever the book of Esther is read, every time the name Mordecai is read, they all cheer. Yay! Every time the name Haman is read, they all boo and hiss. Their goal is to get so drunk that they can't tell whether they're cheering or hissing. That's their plan. That's their plan for the men on a lot of times on this. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but that's their tradition. They say, drink until you can't tell what you're doing. Okay? That's the plan. Anyway, let me give you, I hope everybody filled all that out. Let me give you the significance of the feast, two things. The Jews and the 14th, okay. Significance, first of all, providence of God. The providence of God. Listen, what are the chances out of all the women Esther's chosen? What do you think of that? What about all this time that Mordecai just so happens to hear these two people are going to kill the king and tells them? What is the chances that Mordecai never was honored? What are the chances that the king couldn't sleep? What are the chances they read exactly from that one place? What are the chances that Haman showed up that morning and he had to be the one to take him around? What are the chances that Haman had built the gallows and then Haman dies on the gallows? I mean, think about, you say, all these chances. There aren't any chances. Why couldn't the king sleep? Why was it that Chronicles that he read? You know, it's just everything fits. And but God is not mentioned in the book. But you can see God working every event. And it's the same for us. So the providence of God is powerful. The second thing is God's protection of his people. Listen, the Jewish people, it doesn't matter if you got, you go back to, listen, just go all the way through the Bible. But all you have to do, go to modern times, 1948. And the nation of Israel becomes a nation. They are surrounded by all the Arab nations. They are attacked in one day by five Arab nations that outnumber them 100, 1,000 to 1. And the Jewish people gain the victory. How is that possible? 1952, Jewish people gained the victory. 1967, Jewish people gained the victory. 1973, Jewish people gained the victory. Every time there's been a war, it has not been Jewish people against one nation. It's been the Jewish people against 5 to 6 to 7 Arab nations. And this is modern times. This is not just Bible. This is modern. The Jewish people are God's people. They will always be his people. He has chosen them to bring the Messiah into the world and to give us the Word of God. And they will always be his people. And I thank the Lord for them. Now, they're not in belief as a nation. They're individual Jewish people who have trusted in Jesus Christ. As a nation, they have not one day, toward the end of the tribulation, at the beginning of the tribulation, the Jewish people as a nation and as a people group will turn to God and believe in the Messiah. And they call upon his name. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And that word saved is the idea of deliverance. It's not talking about eternal life salvation. It's talking about a deliverance of the nation of Israel in the tribulation time period by the Messiah and the Savior. It's going to happen. They're always his people. He'll always protect them. Okay, did everybody get down what they needed? That's the Feast of Purim. So the next time you think about the book of Esther, think about a feast. And the Jewish people celebrate it to this day. I told you I used to get the Jerusalem Post, and I remember at Purim, there would be people on the front, kids, and they have on masks and stuff, and they're playing games, and they're giving out candy, and they're having a great time because they remember how God protected them. Listen, if God had not saved his people, where would the Messiah be? Couldn't come. There wouldn't be anywhere. Wouldn't be a Messiah. Great stuff. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Feast of Purim, and thank you for the Bible. Thank you how you are working everything according to your perfect will. May we just trust you and rest in you, Lord. It is so great. And then, Lord, thank you for the way you protect the nation of Israel, because you have used that people group to bring the word of God, to bring the Messiah, that they are your people, and you made promises. And one day you will sit on the throne of King David, the King of Israel, in Jerusalem. You will sit on that throne as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. They're always true. Thank you for protection. We know that in even our own lives, you'll never leave us or forsake us. What should we fear? That you are the provider and protector of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Next time, it's the Feast of Hanukkah. And that is really amazing. We'll see that one. Thanks. Okay.